Do you want to make your money make sense? Listen to Business Sense every Monday to Thursday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. and make sense of your money.
Some women break barriers. Some women build empires. And then there are women like Nyarazo Dliwayo Moyo who do both before breakfast and still remember to uplift others on the way up. She didn't just start a business, she sparked a movement. When the rest of the world say, play it safe, she walked into a grocery store with $50 and walked out with a vision. And today, Yanaya Lifestyle is Zimbabwe's first ever healthy food bar chain. From smoothies and salads to a full-blown revolution in how we nourish our bodies and dream for our futures. She's the MegaFest Pro Development Leader, a Gimme Guru 30 under 30 Emerging Leader, and a cover girl who's more interested in covering ground than just headlines. Because when Nyarazo moves, she moves entire industries with her. From blazing trails and plant-based nutrition to building a brand that's unapologetically African, proudly feminine and fiercely purpose-driven, this is a woman whose story didn't just inspire, or doesn't just inspire, it ignites. And today she's here. And I thank God she is. So sit up, take notes, and get ready, because this is about to be more than a conversation. This is a masterclass in courage, creativity, and carving your own lane. Nyarazo, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. Finally, this interview.
Listen. And I know if things get this much opposition, there must be something to it.
I think so.
We literally have 25 minutes. You and I have 25 minutes. And in this 25 minutes, I need us to create magic with the help of God. Can we do that?
Yes, please.
Fantastic. I want to know, before the brand, the cover stories and the recognition, who are you? What shaped the woman that we see today? There's a bit of interference in your background. Are you trying to sit down?
It's the part in the camper.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Okay. At the Pathfinder Campery, they were giving a lesson about, often when we are asked, who are we?
Yes.
We run to speak about our accolades and all of that stuff. So when you ask me that, I'm tempted to say, oh yes, my name is Nyarazo Dliwayo Moyo. I'm an entrepreneur.
And that would be true. That would be very much you.
I get it. But look, I'm a regular girl.
Yes.
Like any regular girl.
Yes.
Whose dreams just came to life. Whom the Lord was merciful on. Mm. Whom the Lord shone favor.
Yeah.
To say, I dreamt, and then the dreams came to life.
Oh, that is so beautiful. That is so, so beautiful. It's interesting to hear you say you're a regular girl. But I know that regular girls like me don't walk into a store with $50 and come out with an entire empire. So what internal decision had to happen in you before you could even take that first step?
It was dedication to be really committed to a cause and committed to building a legacy and making an impact in the community. When I was growing up, my mom, an Adventist woman, very staunch, you know, and should speak about excellency and should speak about building a legacy and making an impact.
Yeah.
So from a very young age, I grew up to know that my life should have a purpose. I should leave a legacy after I'm gone. I should make an impact. So I think that sort of fueled the idea that in whatever I'm going to do, you know, I would be sweeping the house and my mom would come and say, in Shona, I don't know how to translate this, I'll try. Okay. She'd say, is he going to be happy with what you're doing?
Mm.
Right? Like everything that you do, you should picture Jesus passing by and Jesus must be impressed by your work.
Yeah.
And she would say, there's a spirit called excellence, and spirit of excellence must always be ringing in your mind. You know, you do something and she say, a spirit of excellence ringing in your mind.
Yo, mama.
Hectic.
Yeah.
H for hectic. So those are some of the fundamental beliefs that sort of fueled me to start. That I should leave a legacy, and whatever legacy that I should leave, I should do it excellently.
Yeah, that is so good. Excellence, and what would Jesus say? Not even what would he do, what would he say with what you are doing? You know, when people hear $50 startup, they romanticize it, just like I did right now. But what's the reality behind those early days of you beginning your business? The grit, the doubts, the unexpected wins. Take us through the very first days of Yanaya.
So when people hear $50, it's funny that you say that, because today someone sent me a link to a story about Yanaya being shared by some account on TikTok. And then someone in the comment section said, oh, they must stop lying to us. There's nothing like starting with
$50. Yeah.
And, you know, I wanted to bring my defensive self. I said, no, but it started with $50. Mm. I can tell you the story. It sounds very romantic because, you know, they say, oh, I started my restaurant with a grain of rice.
Yes. While I was sleeping on my mother's couch.
Oh my God. It's so unfortunate because that's how my story goes.
Okay, now I need to hear all of it.
No. So, look, the early days were difficult.
Yes.
I was staying in a flat. I had just come back. I went to study at Stellenbosch. I just moved back from Cape Town after my university back to Zimbabwe. I had a decent job, mid-executive type of job, so I'd be going to work. But at the back of my mind was the idea that my mom had planted, that I should leave a legacy.
Yes.
But coming back to just a regular girl, it's not like my dad. I'm not like a trust fund
a trust
baby.
Trust fund baby.
For all of this. So it was to say, how do I start building a legacy with nothing?
Yeah.
So, you know, the usual story in the Bible, use whatever is in your hand.
And
God says to Moses, what is in your hand? And my hand was $50, and I knew how to cook. And with a very staunch Adventist background, you know, Ellen G. White, eating healthy, healthy message and stuff. So I rode on that. I would prepare meals. So I literally took the $50 that I had in my pocket, went into the grocery shop. I remember the very first meal that I made was barley.
Mm-hmm.
No, bulgur wheat. Mm. So I did a bulgur wheat salad, some quartered mushroom. You know, like how you do your fried chicken?
Yes.
But you do it with mushroom. I did that. And a Greek salad. So I told myself, I'm just going to be making people's lunches, and I deliver during lunchtime for vegetarian people and vegan people.
And you were delivering this food at work?
And I was delivering this food at work.
Okay.
So I knew a couple of people at our office that were Adventist and were vegetarian. Mm. So on the Friday, I said, look, I can do your lunch. You pay me maybe, I think I was selling for like $3. A plate on that very first Monday. I sold 8 plates my $50. 8 plates to 8 different people that worked in that complex that I did. And I sort of built, I did a whole year of just preparing meals in my kitchen, delivering to people. And the numbers continued growing from 8 plates to bigger numbers. And that sort of inspired me to say, look, I'm a young person. I would be going out and struggling with what to eat when I go out. So if I have a problem that I'm facing as a young person that is healthy, then it means there must be more people like me.
Yeah.
Because there's more people like me from my lunch deliveries. Mm. So maybe I should consider opening a full-on restaurant.
And how did you get to that place of now doing that?
So I was fortunate to have a supportive structure around me. So because I've been doing these plate deliveries for over a year.
Mm-hmm.
It was maybe in my seventh month that I started working on business plans, looking for places to rent,
mm-hmm.
how much would I need to start. So I approached a friend, and my approaching a friend, she said, no, she's not going to fund me for opening an entire restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
What if the business model only works for deliveries? So what we had to do first was to do a stall, you know, like those mall stalls.
Yeah, the pop-up ones.
Yeah. The pop-up ones.
Okay.
So I had to start up, I had to start with a pop-up.
Mm-hmm.
So from what I was selling, I was saving to say, oh, okay, we're going to bootstrap so that we open something big. And then I borrowed money from my friend
mm-hmm.
to do the pop-up, the structure, the equipment, uniforms, register a company, opening bank accounts and stuff like that. So we started with a pop-up
mm-hmm.
and we operated the pop-up for 7 months.
Yes.
And it just caught fire.
Mm.
And we are where we at now.
So in all this time, while you're doing all this work, are you still employed or had you left your job going full in on this thing that hasn't even taken flight yet?
No, still employed.
Mm-hmm.
So that human thing that just says, this thing might not work. But very strong.
The fight of every entrepreneur at the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah. And because we were in Zimbabwe, when I would speak to people, say, you know what, this could actually be a big idea, you know?
Yeah.
And people would tell me, no, Zimbabweans love their salsa and their meat.
Oh, yeah. What do you mean, vegetarian?
Salads, Nyari, are you crazy? And people say, no, it sounds fancy on a Sabbath, not as a business model.
Mm.
Yeah. So I was still employed whilst I was doing this.
Yeah.
Whilst I was operating the pop-up, I was employed. But after the 7 months when we were now opening our first branch, I then left work to be full-time in the business.
Yeah. And how were those first days? Because in all honesty, there's a difference in how you approach your business when you are employed and when you are not employed anymore, when your business is your lifeline, right? When you're employed, you don't throw so much weight into it. Yes, you want it to work. You're proud of it. It's your baby. But if it doesn't make money, you won't go to bed hungry. But then it's different when all of your drive has to go into it because everything in the business is you. You are HR. You are sales. You are finance.
Yeah.
You are everything.
Yeah.
How were those first days when you now became your own lifeline?
The first days were very exciting.
Yes.
For me.
Of course.
You know, I literally dreamt, breathed, slept, ate. Like if you were to do a blood transfusion, you... not probably going to find blood in my system. It would be a Naya. So it was exciting. It's like you're giving birth to something. You know, you're nurturing it. You're watering it. You're testing, okay, what fertilizers work for this plant?
Mm.
What can I add ridges? So it's like every day you're finding ways of nurturing.
Yeah.
For me, it was exciting. It was giving birth to something. And because the idea just caught fire, and when we're now a full-on restaurant, we then go into COVID. And COVID, believe it or not, for our business, was actually a blessing through a curse.
Okay.
Because during COVID, now everyone was aware of what they're eating.
Ah.
If anything, everyone wants to try a moringa, something... something with ginger, and this is what we're offering. So our deliveries shot up high. We're getting contracts to partner with hospitals.
Oh, wow.
And stuff. So it was a really good space for us. So that was exciting. Whilst everyone was locked down in Corona, we had those tags that said, we were called what?
Essential services.
Yes.
Who would have thought? Who would have thought from mid-level employee, mid-level manager
to
essential
anything.
Service? Come on.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. That is so interesting. And I wanted to ask you about when you knew it was the time to expand. But it sounds like for you, the moment was how you knew that you needed to expand.
Yeah.
And now you, what does it look like now? Because when I was reading up and doing some research, I was seeing smoothies and salads. What does it look like now? Are you running multiple wellness cafes? Have you went into your own products? Because I also saw something about bottled drinks. What does it look like now? What do operations look like now?
So operations have grown exponentially. Yeah. We now have a stream. Our factory produces dairy-free yogurt. Oh. Again, in Zimbabwe, so we manufacture dairy-free yogurt, coconut-based, dairy-free milk, dairy-free ice cream, and we've gone on to pre-bottle our smoothies. Mm. Now you can find them off the shelf in any retail shop.
Oh, this is so amazing.
Yeah. It's a new product that we recently launched. We spread our footprint to about 11 branches across the country. So look, the growth was very exponential.
Do you have intentions of expanding into the broader continent? Because I'm thinking about seeing Yanaya on these South African shelves, okay? These sounds like Woolworths type of brands.
I know, you never know. Yes. I'm just praying. When if you'd asked me 5 years ago when we started Yanaya to say,
what do you mean?
I'm like, are you crazy? Are you the crazy Zimbabwe love sads I need?
And so, while you're saying that, I'm thinking about the messaging you've had to have, right, in your brand, your communication strategy. Because you're saying now there's a stereotype. Zimbabweans love their sadza, they love their meats. So you must then have had to have a strong brand, firstly, and strong messaging to then pull together people who would then be loyal supporters of your brand, or people who believe in your brand such that they consume it every day. So talk to me about how your marketing and your messaging and your branding has evolved and grown and taken shape.
So again, during COVID, everyone was stuck in their homes and everyone was on their phones.
Yeah.
So we really leveraged on social media. Twitter, Instagram. And we were hard on those platforms. Mm. And it is during that time that we then built a very strong brand because we worked with micro influencers, bigger influencers.
Look at you. Sort of
look, there's a brand. And our hashtag at the time was, it will end in health.
Ah.
Everyone is so conscious of their health. So whatever they're going to do, it must end in health.
Yeah.
That's sort of how we built it. We leveraged on social media. Mm. Macro influences.
Oh man, you know, someone might be listening to the story and thinking your luck was timing. If it could have been any other moment, we don't know, we'd be saying a different story. What do you have to say to that skeptic who could be like, I want to start something, I really want to build this legacy as well, I've got this urge or this nudge. How do I know that it's time for me to venture into it? Will I have a COVID case of my own, COVID scenario of my own, where things just take off? What do you have to say to somebody who's sitting with a dream and an idea but is thinking, ah, my story will never be like Nyari's story, let me just stay in this job?
We don't do anything by our own might or by our own wisdom. Yeah? Yeah, our steps are ordered by the Lord. And ours is just to say, I will not only walk but run the way of your commandments, Lord, when you need. Right? So I believe when our steps are ordered by the Lord will reveal it to us when the time is right.
Yeah.
So it cannot be about COVID, really. There are businesses that closed during COVID.
Mm.
So I think it was the Lord's doing.
Mm.
Yeah.
And we
should just trust that the Lord is going to lead us.
Yeah.
That we cannot fathom. And trust his plans.
I mean, if he has given us the vision and the plan, he will see to it. I think there's a saying that says, his will, his bill.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. Now, we don't have a lot of time left, but I really, because I think you're such a brilliant woman, I want people to walk out of here with a mini masterclass, if you will, right? So I'm going to ask you just 4 questions and tell me the first thing that comes to your mind. You don't need to rush it. Let's just take it nicely. Now, you're recognized as a shapeshifter, of course, by the show, but but you are a gimme guru 30 under 30 leader. You are well decorated, right? But blazing trails is not just about being seen. It's about being effective. And I think you knew that from the very beginning when you started your business. How do you balance visibility with real impact?
You cannot get visibility without doing work. The visibility must come after impact.
Yes.
So the recognition is only going to come because you've done work.
Yes.
Jesus is only going to say, oh, I'm impressed after you've done work. He won't say, I'm impressed when there's nothing. Back to my mom's beatings.
You know what I love about this perspective? Is that you are saying visibility is the outcome of impact.
Yeah.
And not that that is what you're chasing, but if you are impactful, the right people will see. And not for seeing you sake, but for where God is trying to place you.
Yes.
I love that. You see why I said masterclass? I knew I could trust you. What does leadership look like to you? I know at this point you cannot possibly do this alone. What does leadership look like to you? And I know you're no longer in the boardrooms now as a manager, but in your everyday decisions, what does the mantle and the legacy of leadership look like for you?
For me, leadership takes different forms every day.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's leading from the front, you know, being the cover girl and, and stuff. Sometimes it's leading within, actually going to our branches, into our kitchens, going through our SOPs, are people abiding to the Yanaya Bible? Sometimes it's leading from the back, just going there as a customer, seat, sort of see how things are going. So it takes different shapes. Sometimes it's sitting with the management team and say, okay, guys, are we still in line with our goals? Managers meeting their KPIs? Are we still aligned to our strategy? Is there anything that I can add? So it takes different forms every day where the leadership role is required at the time is the hat that I wear.
It sounds like you're saying leadership is about plugging holes. And normally when we think about leadership, it's other people will plug the holes. I'll just point my fingers and they'll go. But you're saying it's doing the work, being there where you need it to be.
Yeah, sometimes I have to get in the kitchen and say, okay, I'm cooking with the chefs.
So many people want to do what's never been seen before, what's never been done, but they're waiting for the right moment. For the right moment. What do you have to say to somebody who's doubting themselves now? They believe the vision is from God, but they're just like, can I actually execute? Like, Lord, can you really trust me? Why do you trust me so much? What do you have to say to that person?
There's no right moment. Ooh. You don't know what you don't know until you know it.
And I'm
You're only going to know by doing.
Yes. Yes.
The Bible then says, faith without action is dead.
Whoa. True. And now, you know, now that you've mentioned that you only know with doing, I'm curious to know, what has entrepreneurship taught you about yourself and about work that a 9-to-5 could have never?
That sometimes our hopes and our dreams and our ambitions are not always what the market requires.
Wait. You're going to need to take that one very slowly. Go again?
What you think people need is educated by your worldview.
Yes.
Not the customers. So your dreams and your ambitions and your perspectives are not what the customer wants. It's the customer's perspectives and the customer's feedback and the customer that you must deliver. So you're not delivering yourself. You're delivering what the customer requires.
I think we'll need to unpack that some more at some point because, And I think the reason why it's got me so mind blown and tongue tied is because when we think about adding value to the world, you are the value. What I know is the value. What I can do is the value. What I want to do and I'm passionate about doing is the value. But that's not what you're saying. Yes, those things come into play. I mean, that's how you're going to deliver, but it's not yourself you're delivering. That's what I'm hearing.
Yes.
And what if what you can do or what the customer wants or what your market wants isn't what you're capable of doing? What then?
Then you get someone that can do that.
Oh!
But if you're going to build, when I went to school, I didn't study how to cook, right? I didn't get an accountant. You are the one that has the vision. You now get the right people to say, okay, this is what the customer wants and I need to deliver this. So come in and we're going to deliver this.
Nyori, do you have a book, ma'am?
No.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Yeah.
No. This can't stay in this conversation and in those magazines, because a magazine is for what? A month, 2 months, and then people cut out their kids' projects from that from that magazine. Are you considering writing a book?
I want to write a book when I'm 50. I hope the Lord gives me enough time to live up to
that. What is that verse in Ecclesiastes? You say, tomorrow we will go there. Your life is but a vapor. Oh, man. Okay, I have one last question before we have to go, because our time is up. When your name is spoken, Nyaradzo Liwayo Moyo, and your work is remembered, what do you hope it leaves behind? What is that legacy that you have been chasing, or that legacy you and God have been living and eventually will leave?
I hope I would have created a generation of healthy eaters that when they remember me, they say, my health is my wealth.
Yeah.
But at least that's the path I am on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What a conversation. Short, but so impactful. Listen, if you've been listening closely, and I know you have, I hope you have, then you just sat front row seat to a masterclass in vision, in vulnerability, and in victory. Nyaradzo, you didn't just drop gems, ma'am. You poured a blueprint. And I know it's a blueprint, even if I don't see the whole of it. But there's things that you said that are so fundamental. If somebody sits with them, they can literally come out with something tangible and beyond themselves to build. And I think for me, this has been a reminder that trailblazers aren't just born with capes. They are forged in courage, in clarity, and in a deep conviction that says, even if I'm the first, I won't be the last.
Yeah.
Oh, from starting with what you had in the $5 to building $50, rather, to building something we all needed, you've shown us that leadership is not about perfection. It's really about purpose. And that impact isn't a moment, it is a mission. And the loudest revolutions oftentimes begin quietly with a smoothie, with a mushroom, with a grain of rice.
So, with a straw.
With a straw. That's how revolution starts. So to my listener, whether you're sitting on a business idea, healing from a financial failure, or wondering if you're too late or too early, remember this moment. Let it stir something in you. And as always, don't just clap for the trailblazers. I want you to become one. Nyaradzo, thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. Finally, it happened.
Yo, and I wish we had more time, but I'll bring you back. One way or another, I'll bring you back, because now I want us to talk. I don't want to highlight you as a shapeshifter. I want us to talk about business, because I think what you've learned and what you can share and what you've built can really help us become the trailblazers that you are today. Thank you for building Yanaya.
We praise God.
Yeah, man. Thank you for building it. And in this conversation, you built belief in all of us and what is possible and what can be next if we just trust God. And we trust that the steps He orders are not steps to throw us out of course, but to really, really take us in the direction that we have to go. I really appreciate your time and your wisdom.
Pleasure is all mine.
Thank you. Thank you.
Pleasure. Enjoy.
You too.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.